Let's pray.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about the reading from that we heard from Genesis, and also the reading that we heard from the Gospel of Matthew, tempting of Jesus in the wilderness. I'm not going to talk about the hockey game in any way. Even though it's Lent, and I guess we should be suffering. But anyway. So I'm going to embarrass my wife for a second here, since I already confessed about the whole housework thing. So, and that is, sometimes Kathleen has a good theological education and is a very astute person. And so sometimes we'll talk a little bit about my preaching, and I'm always happy to receive feedback. I mean that sincerely, not defensively. Happy to receive feedback. We're talking one day after church, and we're talking about what I said, and she said, well, there was something missing from what you said. And I said, okay, what is it that you felt that people needed to hear? Maybe said this to you before, but I want to say it again during Lent. I said, what is it you think I needed to say and people need to hear? And she said, we need to hear that there's evil in the world. So I'm going to say it. There is evil in the world. And there are lots of things. I think maybe in our culture particularly, we think that if there's sufficient education and if people are raised from poverty and if there's healthcare, et cetera, that will take care of everything that's wrong in the world. And those are good things, and they do take care of a lot of things that are wrong. But even when you deal with all those things and take care of all of them, there's still something that's left unaccounted for. And the thing that's left unaccounted for is something that we see, and we don't need to be reminded of that, and that is sometimes we see out of human beings or out of institutions or whatever you want to call it, kind of a malicious, unexplainable malice that comes forth. And again, none of us needs to be reminded of that. Some of us have, some people have experienced that very personally. In larger or smaller ways. And again, I know we don't need to be reminded of that fact. A kind of malice and a kind of resentment. So Satan was a spiritual being. The Bible tells us, but one inflicted with a kind of madness. By that, I don't mean a mental health problem. I mean something else. I mean a kind of madness, a kind of resentment that manifests itself in a kind of rage and a kind of hatred of life itself. And this comes from something very specific. And it's this, that Satan, the spiritual being, wanted to be his own master. Really, in a sense, his own creator. But on the other hand, the fathers and our teachers tell us that Satan had a realization, and it's this. As much as he wanted to be his own master and his own creator, he existed only because of God, and of God's creation of the world. And out of this, we're told by the fathers, arose this, I guess the only word for it is a deep resentment, a resentment of life itself. In a way, I don't know, sometimes teenagers in their worst moment might say something, as if to say that this is going to clinch the argument. Well, I didn't ask to be born, as if that's going to clinch the argument somehow. But imagine that on a kind of cosmic scale. That this spiritual being is saying, I resent the fact that you created me. And I resent the fact that you are Lord of the universe because I wanted to create myself, which of course is absurd. So how does this resentment manifest itself? Well, we've seen it today, two examples today. It's not always in horrific acts of violence, not explicitly. Sometimes it's in small acts of manipulation. What's that word people use a lot these days? People talk about gaslighting, right? Kind of this kind of manipulative speech. We see it in the first reading. Like this. Did the Lord say you could not eat of the fruit of any of the trees of the garden? No. But then, even by her response, he's drawn her in. This kind of manipulative speech. Or, as we just heard in the gospel reading, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And you can do that, can't you? Or, if you're the Son of God, why not throw yourself from the parapet of the temple? Scripture says, the Bible says, you know, his angels will not allow your foot to be damaged. And again, that kind of, even quoting the Bible itself. So we see this kind of manipulative speech. But the thing is, so the Bible is meant to train us, among other things, to recognize it, right? It's meant to train to make us recognize the Word of God, and it's trained to help us to recognize lies when we see it. Remember, Jesus in John calls Satan the original liar, right? The father of lies. So what he says is never true, and there's always the tail of the serpent visible in what he says, no matter how clever, manipulative it is, or even if he's quoting scripture. There's always this hidden, implicit desire to create chaos and to destroy. So let's be clear. Jesus was not in the wilderness on a retreat. This was not a retreat. Mark says it clearly, Matthew says it, but Mark says it even more clearly. The Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to, in essence, do battle with Satan. The force of irrational hatred and resentment that we see in the world, and to conquer it. I don't know if you can picture in your mind that image of St. Michael the Archangel. Do you have a picture of that in your mind? St. Michael the Archangel? And his crushing of Satan. Some scholars would say, that's kind of a picture of what Jesus would look like if he were an angel. That is, this warrior defeating evil. So, but how do you do that? How do you conquer this irrational hatred which manifests itself in the world, this resentment of life itself, which is really what it is. It's a resentment of life itself. How do you do that? I was reading something from the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, and he says something like this. You conquer evil not with hatred, but with holiness. So think of it when we have been assaulted by evil in small ways or in big ways. How do you conquer it? With more resentment, with more rage? No, the patriarch says, with holiness, which is what Jesus does himself. How does he conquer the devil? How does he defeat him in the wilderness? Is it, you know, through going into a rage? No. By fasting, by prayer, by reflection on scripture, and Jesus, as a result, becomes a burning fire, a kind of burning sword of holiness. Do you remember the Garden of Eden? The cherubim that guards the garden, he's got a special rotating flaming sword. That's what Jesus becomes in his prayer, his reading of scripture, and his fasting. He becomes a fire of holiness to defeat Satan. Showing up evil for what it is, revealing the fact that its cleverness is just resentment. And it's not power at all. It is just a kind of weakness. Resentment isn't strength. Resentment is weakness. So as I said, none of us needs to be told. I think all of us are, we do need to be told that there is evil in the world, and we need to be reminded of that so that we know we're not crazy because we experience it. But Jesus is God. He rips off the mask of evil and shows it for what it is, which is a pathetic parasite on the real world, which is really just saying no more than, I didn't ask to be born, and I resent the fact that I exist, and I resent the fact that you're God. So this week, when we are faced with evil, whether it's from outside, temptation, contempt, hatred of God, or within ourselves, things like our own resentment and our own envy, remember that Jesus has defeated Satan, not with hatred, but with holiness. And that's what Lent calls us to do. To fast, to pray, to reflect on the scripture, so that we can tell the difference, right? So that we can tell the difference. To distinguish the voice of God, as we did this morning, we can distinguish the voice of God from the voice of Satan, and we will be trained to recognize that the voice of Satan is a voice of weakness and almost childish resentment and a hatred of life itself. So let us unite ourselves with Christ, who is, among other things, a warrior who has defeated evil. Let us pray. Visit us, we beseech you, O Lord. Drive far from us all snares of the enemy. Let your holy angels dwell with us to preserve us in peace. And may your blessing rest upon us always, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.